Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
Today on the show, we have Tom. Tom is the CEO of Finborn Technologies, and we are discussing a really cool subject today. We're looking forward into 2023 and discussing sort of the trends and what we should be looking at in the fintech industry as we head into the new year. So, Tom, super excited to have you on the show again today. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here again.
Awesome. So let's just sort of start from the top and get your insights as to where we are right now in the fintech space. And it has been for some anyway, in fintech this year has been a bit of a up and down. It's been a bit of a topsy-turvy time. Some have got bloody noses, a bit of bruised egos, etc. But pushing that aside for a second, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing fintechs? Maybe if we look at security, regulation, adoption, talent, or anything else, what do you see as the three things out there that we all need to be aware of and facing up to as we head into 2023?
Sure. So if you look at the things you mentioned, security is sort of always front and center and should be for everyone, right? The threat landscape continues to evolve, and the nature of how you need to keep everyone educated continues to evolve as well, right? You see that as well as things move away from being sort of pan-global into very sort of country-centric. You end up, as I said, with a very different threat landscape. When it then comes to regulation, you see, you know, the ESMA working papers and all the stuff coming out around cloud concentration. And I think from that point of view, you're going to end up with a very different sort of interaction model between the consumers on the enterprise end of fintech and the producers of solutions, where they need to be more aware of the changing landscape in cloud. I think adoption is going to be an important one, because this year we've seen the start of it. Next year we'll see a continued sort of tightening of the discretionary spend. We'll see a lot of people willing to spend to save, but not necessarily willing to spend to experiment. And then the last one, in terms of talent, I think the squeeze on talent will ease somewhat, right? I think the nature of how you keep people engaged and productive won't. The nature of where people sit in terms of workforce and the continued trend to working from home won't change. But I do think that the what we've seen in the last few years is a crazy demand for talent will ease somewhat because of the nature of the macroeconomic climate and the sort of inevitable relaxation in that demand that's coming as a result of it.
No, I like it. And I was talking to a few people over the last few weeks, and they also mentioned to me quite an interesting thing around company values, especially with inside scaling fintechs or companies that are building up and moving on to bigger and larger things. And I don't know your take on that. I thought it was quite interesting because it wasn't anything around tech. It wasn't anything around regulation, but it purely focused on how an ecosystem, a company, actually really looks after its people. So yeah, I'd just love to get your take on that.
I describe this as the journey from, I mean, we haven't reached the end goal yet, but the journey from even where we started to where we are now is one where you have an idea, some mad stuff happens, you get to here, and most of that mad stuff is actually around people, right? It's around the fact that the people you started with, you didn't start with them because they were experts at communication and management. You started with them because they were experts in solving a problem. Yeah. And as you grow, just that alone becomes a very big problem, right? Then what you do is you hire a bunch of people who are experts in their field. And what you don't have in the early days is a very structured EVP or, you know, employee value proposition. You don't have a very structured career path. You just have people who need to do stuff until you figure out what works. And the move from that into a structured approach is one that inevitably leaves people feeling, some people feel out of joint. Some people feel like it's not what they signed up for. Some people feel like this isn't the place for them anymore. And it's an almost impossible problem to solve. The best you can do is be honest about it, and have the conversation with people as frequently as you can, going, yeah, the demands for what we want to go to next have changed. So we think you're going to be good here, or if not, maybe there's a better opportunity elsewhere, and help them find that. I think the problems come about when you're not willing to have those conversations. But the idea that somehow you're going to start a company and everybody's just going to grow into a slightly bigger role and everybody will just get on, and as the demands evolve, everybody will change to meet them is one that well, I haven't seen it yet anyway. So
yeah, I hear what you're saying, and you know, just picking up on something else that I've been talking through with lots of different folks over the past few weeks is data. Data just seems to be something that won't go away, right? And for good reason. But as we look forward to 2023 and, you know, all the technology that's out there, all the tools that are out there, how do you foresee, you know, companies really starting to unlock the power of data that will allow them to move up in their value chain and also unlock profits as they look to grow?
So let's take the last question, right? Which is, how do you grow people in your organization, right? Imagine you collected all the data on your people and you know the amount of keystrokes they make during the day, and you understand, by the way, we definitely don't do this, but I'm using it as a hypothetical, right? You've got the number of keystrokes they make during a day, you've got like the amount of time they spend looking at their camera, you've got the, what does that tell you about productivity? The answer is nothing. Right. Absolutely nothing. And I think that's an illustration of, it doesn't tell you anything about teamwork. It doesn't tell you anything about like how you generate ideas. It doesn't tell you anything about the concentration time for somebody. But it's a lot of data. And if you used it in the wrong way, what you probably end up doing is getting rid of some of your best communicators, some of your best collaborators, some of your, you know, it's and I think about data in that way. Now, we started a company to solve a very big data problem for financial firms. But the data problem we're trying to solve is actually one of translation. Like in the financial markets, everybody's speaking a slightly different language. We're trying to solve the translation between those languages. But what we're not trying to do is the mistake that we sometimes see, which is statistical inference without expertise is sometimes dangerous. And that's sort of the thing I'm alluding to with, if you just log the amount of, it's the old adage, right? Yeah. Don't pay me by the number of lines of code I write. That's not a good measure. Right?
Yeah. No, I like it.
Because as you know, every line of code costs money to maintain. So actually that can be the inverse of what you need in the long run in a lot of cases.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Do you think there'll be, for companies and executives out there, there's a more acute focus on how to interpret data? Is that what you're alluding to?
Yeah, absolutely. You see the there's a lot of studies on this, right? Companies who are data driven tend to outperform, right? But there's a whole raft of nuance in that story that people forget, right? You know, companies which are more diverse tend to outperform as well. Yeah. But if you make the mistake of saying, I'm going to use the data at the start of the process, then what you'd only ever do is hire people who are specifically very high achievers from specific universities, and you've defeated your diversity objectives right at the very start by using data. Mm. You can also end up in a scenario where if you are only driven by the data, you miss the most important part of being human, which is empathy. And whilst it's important that companies do outperform if they're data-driven, there always needs to be the nuance and the interpretation at the top of it. And you need to know what's good data from what's bad data.
Yeah. Totally agree with you there. And, you know, if we look out beyond data and into fintech ecosystem, and we check out a lot of different things happening, there's a lot of different tech out there, a lot of different offers out there. But what do you see as maybe the most interesting and compelling tech in the market right now? I'm going to give you some hints as to what others are talking about. They're talking about AI, Web3 and the metaverse has popped into the conversation. There's cyber, there's IoT, there's cloud native as well is out there. But what are you seeing as some of the most compelling offers as we look into 2023?
So for me, I think that I'm with Elon Musk on the one where Web3 is somewhat of a marketing term rather than necessarily something that it might change our lives. I could be completely wrong on it. And if you look at Sir Tim Berners-Lee, his entire future is sort of betting on Web3. So he's not been wrong in the past, and it probably means I'm on the wrong side of this argument. But I think the one that's going to be more important in the short term is cloud and the continued adoption of cloud, the move to from infrastructure as a service to platform as a service and through to SaaS. Yeah. And I think what becomes very important there is the ability to be cross cloud and cross geography. And I think the appropriate data standards within that will become even more important than being cross cloud, right? So you need to be cross cloud, but be able to keep your Swiss data in Switzerland and your Korean data in Korea, and being cognizant of the restrictions and the as I said, the ESMA papers on outsourcing and your need to be not reliant on a single vendor, and then the ability to operate over the top of it. I think technologies like Terraform have a big part to play in that. I think if you look at Snowflake and their meteoric journey, a lot of their power comes from that cross cloud capability, right? Mm-hmm. Will be where you need to be as a result of your demands rather than choosing a single provider.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And if we look where we started in fintech, I mean, you know, over the last, let's say, 15 years, everything's been evolving. And I get a feeling that the journey's sort of only just begun, right? And we had a point where there's not going to be a revolution like there was 15 years ago. It's more going to be an evolution in the next maybe 5 to 10 years. And how do you see the fintech ecosystem evolving? Not in the next 5 to 10 years, but over the next few years. What do you think are the big things that or the big opportunities that you see coming our way that fintech leaders out there need to get more knowledge on or need to get up to speed on?
I'm going to say something incredibly boring, but I think standardization is one of the ones that I think. And actually, if you look back at the last 15 years as well, it was evolution rather than revolution. Yep. Right? I mean, when cloud started, everyone sort of was very disbelieving of it, and for a long time, the fintech industry was somewhat behind in terms of its adoption. But if you look at standardization, if you look at the Cloud Data Management Council or the EDM Council, and if you look at what the regulatory bodies like ISLA and folks are doing around the CDM or the Common Data Model for taxonomies of instruments, and even if you have a look at folks like Swift and their move to the cloud, and the entire ecosystem is moving to the cloud and moving to it in a way that is encouraging adoption of standards, and that is usually the driver for the next set of innovation. What I mean by that is Google's OpenAPI standardization is really what's led to the latest kick up in terms of the OpenAPI technologies and the efficiencies around that. And I think something similar will come out of what's happening now around cloud data model standardization.
Brilliant. Looking forward to that. And I think that's a wrap for today. And for folks out there, if they want to get in touch with you and the guys at Finborn, what's the easiest method, Tom?
All the usual ones, social, LinkedIn. Let's go for that one.
Yeah, LinkedIn. So, I'll put them all on as I did last time, and we get them all up there. So if they want to reach in, they can reach in. Super interesting chat. Look forward to your continued success in 2023. And thanks again for popping in.
Sure, anytime. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.